Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
I'm Leah.
How are my beautiful girls?
Always doing good.
Doing great. We had an exciting day today. Allie's visiting on the way east for the holidays.
I'm driving east for the holidays. I'm here with Ann for a couple days. We do want to bring you all on a little journey that we went on today. And I think we'll all be excited where we end up. Ann, we went thrifting today, okay? Mm-hmm. Ann knew of a flea market we could go to. Mm-hmm. You said this one's kind of fun. It's kind of a little upscale.
Yeah, it's a big one. Lots of stuff, antiques, etc.
We went to the flea market. We were browsing in a pretty normal way.
We started so normal.
It all started so normal. Just looking around, you're seeing what they have. At some point during the browsing experience, I noticed that there's a lot of, you know, if you're in a tchotchke store, there's a lot of like little animals all over the place. And I said, Ann, you know what we should look out for? We should look out for like a little pig. That could be the mommy's little ham award, you know, like the trophy that we would keep with us. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, in some way we could like take a little picture and be like, ham of the year. You guys haven't heard Trish and Sarah, so you didn't hear the official vote, but you could see who the ham of the year is. And we said, that'd be so fun. We'll just keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, because there's so many little animal figurines. They're so like everywhere. So it's like, we'll just see a cute little pig and it'll be great.
There's so many little animals. So we're browsing and we're keeping this lightly in our minds until within like, you know, 10 minutes or something, I find this beautiful brass water buffalo that's labeled like mid-century, like beautiful detail, like wonderful craftsmanship or something. And I'm like, how could this not be a pig? This should be a pig and it should be our award. And suddenly a madness kicks in. I mean, I don't think we suddenly are not that well. Because we keep looking at everything saying, why isn't that a pig?
And there were so many animals of other genres. It's like camel, wolf, tiger, lion, chicken.
There are about 70 poodles. I took a picture of one. I said, that's Kenny's award. If he ever wants it, we'll send him a little poodle. Every other animal you can imagine is being represented. But we just can't find any pigs. And the pigs that we do find are... I'm so sorry to these pigs. Hideous. Hideous little pigs.
I pointed out one to Allie and she said in the most discomfited tone, she said, why aren't you beautiful?
Well, they were all like plastic pigs. They were like, you know, little comic book pigs. They didn't fit the bill. I know that we can't fully communicate what happened here, but the madness grew to a true crescendo where it's like we're walking through this enormous flea market just saying, like, any pigs? Can we see a pig? If only I could find a pig. The only thing that could make me happy is a little brass pig. Losing our minds. We go through this whole place, okay? And it's, I mean, we're in there for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. I don't know. We were in there for a while. We get, and we're just like doleful at the end. We're like, we'll never find a little pig. We'll never find a sweet little pig to be our beautiful award. And we look into one of the very last stalls in this place, and we're just looking around, and we'd just seen a phoenix, a brass phoenix. I said, phoenixes aren't even real. So why would there be one?
At this You'd also fallen in love with a brass chicken that
I can't talk about.
Got. I know.
There may be a new award named for a brass chicken that we may have to go back and buy tomorrow. That's all I can say about that. But we look into this stall, and almost at the same time, we spot a little creature and both go, like shout, lunge.
We lunged like the whole flea market was full of people all looking for the same pig and that we had to beat them. They were not, though.
They were not. Now, you guys can't see this. We'll post it. We'll post a picture in due course.
Oh, now that's some pig.
That's
Look at his little tail. He's got a little curly tail.
He has
that's
a little
so
curly
sweet.
Tail. He has this little lopsided face. You can't. He's just a little grunt. He's a little grunter. Now, this is such a moment of triumph for us. We said we found him. We found the boy. There's a woman in the stall who looks over at us and says, "Now, what did you two find?"
Because we're talking like so excitedly, and we were like, "A brass pig." I don't even know what we said to her.
We said we were looking for a brass pig and we didn't think we'd find one. And she said, "Well, try most men."
Yeah, but we were really not in a place to generalize about men at that moment. It's like most of the time we'd be excited and we were like, haha, yeah, and kind of kept talking excitedly to each other. And then she said, y'all have some kind of pig fetish?
Did you say yes?
Got us. I mean.
Yeah, pretty much.
I couldn't process it. I was just like, ma'am, what do you mean? So the upshot is that we found the most beautiful little pig of all time. I truly can't believe we found it. We went into, I can't describe the days that I was in. I just kept like talking to him and being like, you're my sweet boy. Like you've been waiting your whole life for us.
She sang a little song to him in the car that included the line, this is the pig that I gave birth to.
Well,
amazing.
He has three mothers. That's us. Mm-hmm. Do you accept this responsibility?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. And we think that what I'm going to do is make a little winner's sash for him with the name of the mommy's little ham winner embroidered on it. We'll take a beautiful photo of that. And adorable. You'll see that on our social media.
Beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. A real
very cute. Very cute.
And that's the whole story. And
I love it.
He's here with us as we record now.
Your triumph.
I mean, yes. It was. You have to, if you've gone through an entire flea market, and all you've noticed is that no one in the world has ever made a brass pig. Mm-hmm. And then you find a brass pig right at the end. It does feel like the universe is saying, like, yes.
Yeah.
Ham matters.
Don't give up.
Yeah. Don't give up on anything, ever.
Yeah. Huge shot of adrenaline when we saw it. And then kind of a crash later. And then we're eating dinner and Dustin Chuck Taylor posted that he'd had neck surgery, that we didn't know there was anything wrong with his neck.
It was a fairly mentally unwell period of the day, I have to say, to go from the high of finding the pig to the, I guess, confusing moment of being like, it's like Chuck Taylor hears us and he's like, oh, they think that I don't post as much medical information as Greg. I can post medical information. And it's like about an injury you've never disclosed.
And we don't really know the severity or when it happened or like what the outcome, like what's
troll.
The best outcome is going to be.
All our traditional best to my son. You have a brother now, by the way, if you even care. You have a little younger pig brother, if you even care, Dustin. I hope he's well, and I'd love more details. And frankly, I'd love more medical details.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Did the ankle ever get surgery?
Yeah. I think the dirt sheets will be on it.
Yeah,
I'm sure Sean Rossap will be following up imminently.
Yeah.
He loves asking questions about Dustin, and he always finds it really understandable when people want him to. It's our experience, yeah. So that's the story of the day here, and tune into the Trish and Sarah, the next Trish and Sarah podcast to find out who officially won.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
going to
air on the 23rd. We already recorded it, and it was a blast and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Although we did get jossed in some ways that we'll have to discuss as we go on, because we confidently said some things that then I feel like some individuals returned to TV this week specifically to make us look like fools for saying.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. It felt targeted.
It felt targeted, but we'll get into that later. Anything else to share before we get to the wrestling?
We will also be on.
Oh my God, our break! Yeah,
Stiffness.
WeWork
Stiff is doing a career retrospective of Tanahashi. We sent in audio for it. I have no idea when it's going to air, but we'll tweet about that. If you need to hear our really insightful analysis of Tanahashi's career, that's a don't miss.
We get deep into the moves, as I'm sure you can imagine. If you crave our moves analysis, actually, as you say this, I'm like, we don't know if they'll use it. You know, it's like they might listen to it and be like, that's not what we had in mind.
That's not what we had in mind. Hey, if we don't make it, if we send our audio in and they don't include it, hey, we'll post it in our Discord or something.
Yeah, and just know that's because our truth is too powerful.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, that's a good one. And then also, this will be our last episode before we go on our Christmas break. We learned it from watching you, our Young Bucks. And so we'll be off until, honestly, like mid-January.
Yeah.
And that's just because of our travel stuff. And we were like, we don't have the energy to try and work around it this year. And it's also because Tony's punishing us by bringing MJF back. So I don't know what to do with him.
We're going to take a break, and we hope that you guys have cleaned up the house by the time we get back. Don't leave us with this mess. We don't want it.
Yeah. Can you guys just get a grip on what's going on at this company while we're out? And then when we come back, it'll all be like nice and clean and ready for the new year, and we'll love what's happening.
Yeah.
Please. Thank you. All right. Well, then I guess we better get down to it, shall we?
Yeah.
MJF is back. Let's start there. Marley was dead.
Why did that remind me of a Christmas Carol?
MJF was back to begin with.
I'm picturing Rizzo saying it also.
Oh my God, I should have worn my Christmas sweater that I made, but I'll send you guys a picture later. Okay. We're going to start by talking about the pre-MJF portion of the segment in question. So we have the segment on Dynamite this week where Samoa Joe, Hangman, and Swerve all come out for a contract signing for a three-way match at World's End for the men's world title. And I think they each got a chance to speak. So what did each of them have to say? Let's start with Samoa Joe. You can comment on what he was wearing as well, and I believe you had a thought about that.
Oh, yeah, he was wearing kind of a green, it kind of looked like a green velour sweatsuit, but I don't think it was actually velour, it was kind of a nice shade of green. Whatever.
It's good that he's keeping character continuity about not wearing suits because he doesn't feel that the crowd deserves it. Hey, listen, we got to praise the bottom. We got to meet them where they're at.
If you're at the bottom of the barrel, you got to say thanks for the bottom.
And that's what we're always saying. Thanks for the bottom.
Classic. I don't even remember what he did have to say. I think it was just kind of like, you guys blow. You'll be sorry. I don't think he said you'll be sorry.
It was really nothing of note. It was fine, I think.
Yeah, it was like, it was, you know, it was paint by numbers, heel shit. Yeah. He was just sort of like, I don't trust you guys, but I'm going to fight and then I'm going to walk out. Still a champion, and that's because I'm really strong. But you guys are strong too. Don't worry about that. But just not as strong as me.
Don't worry about that. I see your strength. I see your strength in every aspect of your bodies and your minds. But you will not be getting this belt from me. That's word for word what he said. And then Swerve gave us a little he walked through kind of a little reminder of like, this is some of the history that I have with Samoa Joe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is useful because I am like, he's kind of grounding us in like where he is, which I think is a useful thing to do. So I respect it.
Totally. And I like the reminder that Samoa Joe has often been the third wheel in Hangman and Swerve's sexual tensions. So
I know. And when he was a face, it was in a funny way where he was always like in the ring with them just being like, do y'all need to be alone? Am I supposed to be here or not?
Yeah, he's not paws on the bed. He's like trying the doorknob, being like, listen, I'll leave you guys alone.
I know. Or he's like, you could leave. Like, it's my room. It's kind of my room. And then Hangman oh, Swerve said Paige better bring his big guns to World End. Didn't remember the big gun thing, but... And Joe better bring his army and his big guns, his incel army. Mm. Okay. And so then Hangman cut a promo. And what did Hangman have to say for himself?
Well, he immediately made... Well, not immediately, but, like, in this, he made it so sexy. And I think the three of us were like, I'm sitting up. Because he was just sort of, like... You know, Swerve, if we had figured this out earlier, if things hadn't gone the way it did, maybe we'd be happy together. I think there was a world where we had a little house and I made bread and you sat at the fireplace and mended your boots and we had a family, you know? And like, I was like, I'm into it. I love it.
He said, like, if we had figured it out sooner, like many times, it was like, this is rom-com language 100%.
And right, yeah, it was like... That moment where it's like, we wasted so much time, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, that'll do it. That'll
but it was it. Like, it was like that third act rom-com thing of just like, I guess we missed our moment. Like, and like, maybe that's on me and maybe that's on you. But, you know, it's like, I guess it'll just never happen. And then he's like walking away. And like, it's like it was like the moment before it's like, what if we could have another moment? Like, what if we could do it? What if we could still have
over.
That?
It still isn't over.
It'll never be over. Which is how it felt. Anyway, so he kind of, yeah, he's like delivering part of this promo, not that part, but he's delivering part of the promo in general to Joe, you know, just kind of like, again, doing some recapping, like, and then he's like just talking to Swerve, and Swerve's, and Joe's in the background, just kind of like, in my room, I guess. Just like, the only cloud story that I like about him right now is he's just like, and then they like got really intense in front of me, and like, meanwhile, Osprey is like texting Joe, like, oh my God, how did you feel? That was tell me. So intoxicating.
He's like, tell me everything. Tell me every minute.
I know. Joe's like, I am a heel. You know that, right? You're definitely not supposed to be talking to me. Like, I'm a bad guy. Okay, so, and Hangman has this, I mean, what a line to land on. He goes, you know, if you defeated me, I would have accepted that and handed the championship over to you, Swerve. But that is not the world we live in. At World's End, this will be a three-way match. At World's End, Joe, I cannot guarantee who will leave as champion, but I can damn sure tell you this. It will not be you. Joe, you have messed up worse than you know in making an enemy of the two of us. It was like,
Are you allowed to say that? You speak for both of you?
And Swerve didn't. Pushback, which I thought was quite sexy. I mean, yeah. Like, because I thought it would have been, again, Swerve does good character development. And I think, like, early days, Swerve would have pushed back, even if he agreed, like, yeah, he shouldn't have made an enemy of me, but don't put us in the same sentence like that. But it was like,
we're different enemies.
Yeah. So it was, you know, a lot's going unspoken. And Tony Schiavone is being like, okay, let's wrap things up here. Lights go out. MJF returns. Now, yeah. So
he looked terrible. His hair looked terrible. Mm-hmm. We said on the Trish and Sarah pod that CM Punk's alleged hair plugs were worse than MJF's alleged hair plugs, and MJF heard us and said,
"Hold my beer."
Bet. Yeah, I know. I do. I genuinely most upset about that in some ways, where I was just like, "How dare you?" I went on a podcast and I said that in general, even though you got hair plugs and your hair often doesn't look very kempt, that they looked fine, that your hair looked fine. And then you said, no, it doesn't. I will make a fool of you. Looked really bad. Anyway,
outrageous.
He comes out, the crowd in Manchester. This during this segment, I turned on the Manchester. I'm so sorry. I turned on the Manchester crowd. I was like, you're evil. You're bad
they
people.
They weren't that great. Sorry to Trish and, you know, anybody else.
I think she was the worst offender, probably. started all of this.
I think if I was reading it correctly, Trish left during this promo to go record for Poison Rana.
She was recording from the stadium.
Yeah.
God bless. Okay, but so they're all cheering for MJF, which is like, I get it. People come back and you got to expect that they're going to get cheered for. But it was MJF got in the ring and signed he cashed in his guaranteed world title shot that he won in the Casino Gauntlet at All In. And it was a strange segment because it's like he got in, Tony Schiavone seemed to know what was going on, kind of. Nobody moved a finger to be like, what's your game? What are you doing here? They all just kind of watched like, all right, there he goes signing something.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a kind of a strange way to play it. And then he said, they get the point, Shivani. Now get out of my ring, you tub of goo. And Manchester cheered.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
That's, I'm sorry, that's not acceptable.
No, it's
what
evil.
Is wrong with people?
It's no, evil. It was a real, like, I feel like there was a lot of defense of this promo with, like, well, he's a heel. And it's like, well, the crowd wasn't treating him like one, so.
Well, it's been really confusing because some people are like, he's a heel. He's supposed to say nasty stuff. And it's like, okay, well, the crowd didn't react that way. But also some people were like, I think he's turning babyface. There were a lot of signals. And I was like,
what signals? He only said mean stuff.
I know.
And he didn't say anything that seemed like it was supposed to make you feel sympathetic towards him.
No, I didn't think so.
No.
No. Okay, so MJF, I mean, he's back in his element. He's made it into the ring. He cuts a promo kind of on each man in the ring in turn. Mm-hmm. So he starts with Hangman, and he hits the Seabiscuit note, and he has kind of a confusing argument about, like, how he, I don't know, like, he's going to take Hangman's, he's going to take the title away from Hangman by beating him and two of his biggest rivals in one fell swoop. Okay, that's fine. And then he turns on Joe, and he's kind of just like, you know, again, like pretty standard stuff towards Joe, like...
called him Sloppy Joe.
Oh, like, yeah.
During these two parts, it was both like very standard issue MJF, but also like, kind of worse version of MJF where it's like it's boring because he's doing the same stuff that he always does, and also like it feels very sort of like plastic and fake to and cartoony to me. Like I didn't think like this was like the part that was relatively inoffensive, but I was like MJF is not winning me back. Like mm-hmm. I wasn't a fan of his when he left, but like prior to that it was like probably about 50% of the time I liked what he was doing, and this was just like, you know, I was kind of like, well, my heart's like, we'll see how it is. But it was bad, I thought, right. All over.
It was the exact stuff that we were sick of when he left, which was, just, you know, exhausting.
And these were, again, like the swerve or the Joe and Hangman parts were like the parts where it was like, well, it was, you know, it wasn't that.
Right. It's like it just wasn't that. It wasn't that interesting. It wasn't anything new. He had left when he went on break. He left on a pretty good promo. Promo I really enjoyed at the time, although I believe on this podcast we did question whether or not it would turn out to be the case, where he did kind of show some genuine pathos and was kind of like, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know what to do for you people. I'm going away for a while, and when I come back, like, I'm going to be a totally different guy. I'm going to be the most dangerous version of myself. And it was like, a totally different guy? It's just crazy enough to work, except I've never seen you do it before. So I've never seen you actually change anything about your character mm-hmm. or your presentation before. So I'm kind of concerned you won't. And he came back and did these promos, and it was like, oh, you didn't. Okay, yeah. All right, there we go.
Yeah, and it feels like it's almost becoming like more calcified or something. But it's like, and I was like, maybe I'm just more used to it. But it feels like it's also like through practice of him just giving the same like overly long, pretty boring promos that it's just like becoming more and more fake feeling. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I like it.
And I honestly didn't love. So then we get to the swerve part, and the swerve did like an MJF nickname on MJF. Mm-hmm. So he called him Gluteus Maximus, and I was like, let's not fall into this trap.
Yeah,
let's
not go you're down. Better. I was a little bit like, you're better than that.
Yeah. It was the kind of thing where I think someone could maybe deliver it in a way that's like, see how stupid you sound when you do this, but it didn't mm-hmm. really come off that way exactly. And anyway, then things just went to shit. I mean, way beyond that. If anyone wants to, just one of you want to take that from me.
Well, it was like multiple things. First of all, he was like recounting Swerve's history in WWE, which it's like, I don't know if you, I guess some of it was relevant when he was working with Regal. And so like, it made sense to like bring up some of that history. And of course it's like pretty much always relevant to bring up New Japan stuff because like there's like brother promotion, but I just, like, what was his point in bringing up Swerve's WWE stuff? It didn't enhance anything, and it just felt really uncomfortable. He just seemed like he was trying to embarrass Swerve by being like, you were a failure in WWE. They didn't like you. And I was like, okay, well, what is this for? Like, what is this doing for your feud? It sucks.
Yeah, and he was like, I, like, took a chance on AEW, whereas you went to WWE, and then the crowd, like, boos WWE, but that's, like, effectively, like, booing Swerve. Like, I was like, is MJF feeling, like, insecure that people feel like Swerve is a real AEW guy, and he's trying to, like, undermine that? Like, I don't understand what's happening here.
It felt a little bit, and honestly, it's like, I mean, I don't know the timeline of when Swerve went to NXT, but, like, Adam Cole went to WWE, you know what I mean? Like, I know it was right, it was before AEW started, but, like, there's, like, multiple reasons why you would, choose WWE that don't make you a bad person then, you know what I mean? I think it kind of does now, because there's a lot of other options, but I don't know. It just felt, like, I was kind of like, what's your point? If Swerve had given a promo that was like, I am AEW, I carry AEW on my back, I have AEW in my blood, and then Max had come back and been like, bitch, you haven't been here from the beginning, I guess that would make sense. But, like, that's not what Swerve has never said, like, I am an all AEW guy. I am an original. Like, he's never tried to front like he started here. So I don't know what that was for.
Also, I just checked it. He went to WWE in 2019. And I feel like choosing WWE over AEW in 2019 is like, that's fine.
Yeah, that's like,
that doesn't count as anything. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think aside from anything, like, I don't even know where to start with this, but it's just like, MJF, why are you trying to activate the WWE thing, like, in this moment? Like, I'm not saying definitively that we should or should not, like, mention, I guess, other companies. I think we should mention other companies. I think it's a question of, like, should we mention WWE, which is kind of a different case of another company. Like, do we want to, like, bring the name into things? Do we want to activate the crowd about it? Like, no, most people don't do it. MJF is one of the only people who does do it. So it's like, what is your argument for or against, like, why you bring it up in the first place?
And it felt crazy when he was giving this, like, very slick. Like, I was, as he was talking before he said this, I was like, is this what people mean by WWE shit? Because I don't like it, you know? Yeah. And it's like, I don't know, but.
Wow, that'll be a real turn from this podcast if we finally understand that phrase.
We hate WWE shit. I don't remember what the other thing. Sorry, I had another. I just don't remember what the other point was. But
like, I think we can bring it up. Like, I don't think it's like you're forbidden from saying the words, but just like think about why you're doing it.
Right. It should have a point, and it shouldn't be like to get Swerve, who is a babyface, like booed by the crowd. It's just like, this isn't serving the story for everybody.
Yeah, I did just find it strange. Okay, so that's the one thing that's going on. Yeah.
And then it got worse.
I think it started worse and then got, anyway. What's the other thing that happened?
So I think Rich and James did a really good breakdown of this. So, you know, go look up ONR. They clipped this segment. So if you want to hit just this segment, I think they said it better and, you know, a lot angrier, like, you know, like they needed to, like, it was like they were really, really good on this. But basically he was like, you put me in mind of another rapper. And then he like named us, like, he was like, you're like, you wear chains.
Said, you both call yourself moguls. You both rock chains. You both use too much baby oil and you're both dog shit rappers. Oh, that's right. It was kind of like, I mean, it's like, you know what's going on at this point, and you're just like, okay, so you're just going to leave it there as like a suggestion. Like, for me, I was kind of like, I wouldn't do this. Like, I don't think any of this makes sense, but like, okay, if you're just insinuating it, then he goes, oh, that's right, P. Diddy. And it was like, what is going on with you?
What is wrong with you?
It's so crazy because it's like none of those descriptors really fit Swerve at all. Like, I was so confused. No, this isn't a good burn.
No, I'm a professional Swerve looker at her, and he doesn't wear, he doesn't use too much baby oil. I'll tell you that.
He doesn't. Never. And we would have pointed it out if there was a baby oil.
Listen, you know, if there's a baby oil crisis at this company, you know, we're going to be first on the scenes.
Yeah. We'll be talking about it.
And this is one of these things where it's like, I don't know that you need to bring up like a notorious rapist ever, but like, I'm not even opposed. Like, if you had like sort of an on point or funny way to say it. But like in this case, it was just like Swerve doesn't resemble P. Diddy except that they're both black.
And
is
it's
that
like,
where we are?
And yeah, right. Like he might as well have just been like, and you're both black.
Yes.
But like the implication of the comparison is that like Swerve is also a weird rapist pervert who does like, you know, weird sex stuff. And it was like, Now, why are you bringing that into this like feud? What are you trying to do here? Because like that's I just think it's very careless and is lazy.
It's astonishingly
lazy. It's astonishing.
You shouldn't leave me when you say something like that. Leave me blinking at the screen. But what do you mean? It's not like there should be. If you're gonna do the comparison, at least list four things that are true about the person, not four things that are true of P. Diddy, but not of Swerve. Right. Except again, they're both black, which is MJF.
I thought this could not have been stranger or more alienating.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. as a move, it really was just I don't understand. I don't think what you're saying is right. I don't understand why you're saying it. I think it is pretty offensive that you said it. It's not the first time you've said something pretty offensive. Then we all have to have some conversation about cheap heat or something. It's I think this is pretty fucked up, actually. I mean, then someone's going to be that's why he's the best heel at AEW.
Well, that's, that was also something that I think I was saying, thank God we're going on break so I can escape what's going on here. But it was also mega annoying to me to go online and see people be you're supposed to get mad at heels. And you're there are ways to get annoyed at heels without resorting to this kind of shit. There's just no point. One thing, if AEW was an edgy promotion that made jokes like this all the time, maybe you'd be that's the culture, And of course, I'm not saying that's, good.
We don't
acceptable,
want that culture,
but I'm just saying.
Yeah, that would be a different situation.
But this stands out. This is not how our heels act. This is not how this company acts. We are not careless like this. This sucks.
And it's what heel at AEW has the most mega heat is probably Don Callis. And he actually doesn't say racist or misogynistic things.
No.
It's almost always
kind
MJF.
Of amazing when you say it. I'm like, wow,
I know.
Yeah,
isn't that kind of shocking when you put it to yourself? It's always MJF who's saying racist or misogynistic or making light of sexual assault type things. And it's at a certain point, it's MJF, are you just a racist and a sexist?
Right. If someone tells you who they are, should I believe them?
Right.
Yeah.
I think when he said the racist stuff to Takeshita that time, what was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, was a little bit sympathetic where I was well, then he handed the mic. He was playing Jim Cornette in that moment. And then he handed the mic to Takeshita so that Takeshita could say, fuck off. And it's did I enjoy hearing that? No. But in that moment, it made sense. I mean, whatever, for values have made sense, because Takeshita got to answer back all the people who are genuinely saying this stuff online. But it's first of all, this is not
no one was saying that
kind of stuff. And number two, no one got to answer back. No one got to say anything. He didn't if Swerve had hauled and punched him in the face, I still wouldn't have liked that promo. But I think
you
I would be like a little bit
what was
more restrained.
Or you would
about
understand
it.
The thought process of the choreography of the segment a little more. Right. I don't think that I understand at all what the intention was with, I mean, I think that's a question that I left for you guys here was what was MJF trying to do with this segment? What was he trying to achieve for himself or his colleagues? And did he achieve it? And I'm I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think he, if he achieved something, I am bewildered.
I'll eat my hat.
He didn't set up anything good for a kayfabe feud. It feels like what he was trying to do was just undermine Swerve as a performer. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It is just the more I think about it, the more I'm that is such a an insane thing. Mm-hmm. That's such an insane comparison to make in here.
It's so crazy.
When it's
and for what?
It's just not about, it's not based on anything except that they're black. And then it's what are you doing? Then you're just you're just putting a question in people's minds of why would he say that? Am I supposed to think there's a reason he would say that? It's that's really strange.
Right.
It honestly, it's even if you set aside the sexual assault of it all, it's if you came out there and compared Hangman to Macklemore or something, you'd just be what? What do you mean? You could burn OC with that. You can't burn Hangman with that, you know? You're not making sense. They're both white. That's all I got.
And there are comparisons that you could make. This happened like 3 years ago, and I still think about it all the time. Do you remember when Max Caster said that Swerve looks like Randall from Monsters, Inc.? I think about that all the time.
That's a burn.
That's incredible.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. It just was, it was such a strange segment. And then again, as you said, like everyone's just kind of standing around. And I would never use the language that my beloved friends in my online communities use of they look like geeks. I think that's cool. I think it's cool to look like a geek, actually.
Well, Allie, if you're using the parlance correctly, use it as a verb.
Geeked. They got geeked. Don't worry. I know, but I've seen it both ways.
How does that feel in your mouth? Does it feel good?
Honestly, saying they got geeked does sound, it like is kind of fun to say. So in that sense, I understand why people are saying it. But
so in this episode, we've said we don't like WWE shit and they got geeked out.
They got geeked.
Can we hit other roasts?
That's why we have to go on vacation to restore our unique spark, because look at us right now. This must be like listening to Fightful or something.
Yeah, probably exactly like it. Yeah,
I don't know if Fightful is I don't know if they have a podcast. I don't know what they do over there. Anyway, but it just was such a strange segment, and they were all just standing there, and it was like, "Are you guys? Should you say something?" And their vibe was just like, "We're not supposed to. We're not allowed to say." It was a little bit like, "We're quiet quitting."
I haven't seen it, but someone in one of our Discord said that when MJF said that, Swerve looked at, I think it was Hangman, it might have been Joe, with this like look of like, are you fucking hearing this? Like, I'm so fucking sick of him. Like, not in like a kayfabe way, in a genuine, I cannot believe that we're here kind of way. I'm like, ugh.
Well, Rich said that Swerve didn't know he was going to say it, which like, on the one hand makes sense, because when he said it, I was like, why would Swerve say that was okay? But that's pretty fucked up too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the whole thing's insane. So I'm like, I don't know what you wanted me to take from it. Like, it's like MJF, my heart was open. I crack my stupid heart open every single time. Like, you know, someone goes away and it's like, you come back and I'm like, okay, you want to do a new presentation? Like, here I am. I'm trying to, even FTR got us this year. We've said it a million times. It's like, you know, and it's like, you just came back and we're like, I want to remind you of exactly why I'm such a frustrating person to watch on TV, and why you spend so much time mad at me when we have gone through, you know, periods in the past where we really enjoyed MJF. Like, when he wants to work, when he wants to like show up, like he can do good work. He can talk well. He can, but he just constantly chooses not to. So he's like, no, I'm going to show up and do the laziest, shittiest like thing that you could possibly imagine. And I'm going to be really offensive for no reason. And don't talk to me about heel heat. I don't want to hear about heel heat. I'm so glad that we don't have to have the conversation about heel heat with anybody while we're gone.
I
don't know.
I just felt like what? Failed on every level, because it's like, it wasn't entertaining, it was unpleasant to watch, it wasn't good, like they weren't good pointed burns on the other wrestlers, no one else got to say anything, and it was offensive on top of that. It's just like,
I mean, it is like my principle, all of our principles, that we don't get pretty mad at shit and we wait and see how it plays out. And so I'm really trying not to be like, well, that promo made me feel like the next 6 months of our life is going to suck ass. But like, I'm trying not to do this, but like, there is part of me that's just like, well,
I know. It was really that bad for me too, where it was, and it's because of the history, where it's like, when MJF is around, he gets like 20 minutes to bore me every week. So it's like, maybe he won't this time, but doesn't look good.
I don't know. I don't know what to do with any of it. Anyway, so that's what happened. And Manchester cheered for it a lot, which I was very out of sorts with. I mean, I was just like, this is crazy. Like, I don't know.
Right. Well, this is part of the problem to me, is that like, when a top guy, I hate using that phrase, add it to the list of things we're using. Like, we're using explicitly.
Geek WWE like, shit. Top guys.
Add it to the list.
Out.
When they return, the crowd has an instinctive, like, oh, like, you're someone I like to watch. You're, like, you're a big name in this promotion. I'm cheering for you. And I think, like, people who want to come back heels know that's going to happen and then immediately work to fix it. Mm-hmm. And I think it was hard because he, like, he did such an intense and aggressive promo. I almost think that he probably should have come back by himself and promoted on the crowd.
I was just thinking that.
Which would have established his heelness again and then did something with the foursome. I know there's not a lot of weeks left.
I know it's a hard line to walk with, like, crowd work, kind of, where it can be very, very lazy to just show up and be like, hey, Cincinnati, your sports team that I don't know the name of sucks. But there is something to be said for the fact that, like, people don't have great moral compasses. Mm-hmm. And especially wrestling fans. I'm so sorry to say especially wrestling fans. And so, like, it is a shortcut to be like, okay, you know who people don't like when you're mean to? For sure, them. So you can be mean to them to be like, a nice guy wouldn't be mean to you. Okay, now when I talk to this guy, do you understand that I'm being mean?
Yeah.
And that, like, I'm in the wrong and that person is in the right? Like, that's kind of the benefit of it. But he didn't do any of that, I don't think, that I can remember.
No.
Which is interesting, too, because it usually is kind of a go-to for MJF, and he can be fairly effective at using it. Like, he does usually know when he's supposed to be getting booed, and he takes measures to try and get booed, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
So it's strange, that he didn't.
Yeah, it's like, I hate to... Like, I always want to critique, like, the art that someone's doing without, like, guessing what their, like, personal their shoot motivations. But this felt like someone who's insecure coming back after they've been gone for a while and trying to, like, undermine people that they're, you know, worried about overtaking them or whatever.
Yeah. Politicking in.
I know.
Add it to the list.
These geeks got politicked on big time. Bunch of top guys looking like geeks out there. I think
Sarah said something that I found interesting today in our Discord. She's going to kill me for scooping her for her own podcast in 2 weeks. But she was like,
it's not for 2 weeks. Come on, Sarah. We need it now.
She was like, it feels like MJF is very good at getting TK to do things that he wants him to do, but is very bad at getting his fellow wrestlers to like to get his fellow wrestlers on side. Which I'm like, yeah, because you don't do any of the things that would make that happen.
Yeah. I think it's just strange to... It's strange. In some ways, you know, let's look at the bright side, though. I come out of this segment liking Samoa Joe more because by contrast.
Right.
So now I actually love Samoa Joe's incel army. I think they're just nice guys. They're misunderstood, and they live in a world that doesn't respect them. And
it's true that men have respect. It rough. Yeah.
Men have it really hard out there. Yeah.
They're in the middle of a loneliness crisis and women won't marry them to assuage it. It's rough out there.
And whose fault is it? Not theirs. I know that.
Nope. Not theirs.
You know, just kidding. Samoa Joe, you have all the same problems, but at least you didn't say this stuff, you know? So anyway, mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to have a four-way. Yes.
What's the saying? You don't have to outrun the bear. You just don't have to be the last one in the pack. That's Samoa Joe being like, hey, you may hate me. I'm not that guy.
So in a way, Samoa Joe says, wasn't it a pretty effective promo?
It actually was. You know when Samoa Joe did that move where someone was like doing like a flying off the top rope at him and he just stepped out of the way?
Yeah.
That's what he did in this segment.
Made a funny face at Swerve and Hangman getting romantic, and then he just stood there and let other people be worse than him.
Yeah. He said, why don't you hey, you want to come out and dig a hole? For yourself.
And it was effective because, frankly, I'm desperate for him to remain champion. I'm like, I know.
I know.
Damn it, he has my sword now. And you know what? He's got my Glock, too. So
it's really amazing, TK's commitment to making World's End the worst pay-per-view
every
of the year.
Every single time.
It's fascinating.
It's like, I wasn't that excited for it anyway. And then this is just like, wow, death blow. Incredible.
Well, maybe it'll turn out amazing, girls. You know, we're optimists.
Yeah,
we are.
We're bright-eyed, bushy-tailed optimists. So, anyway, it's going to be a four-way. You think MJF's getting that belt or what?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Big time.
Fuck my life.
I know.
I can't. But then it's just like, why are we doing this, huh?
I know. It's like we've already done that quite a few times, and it didn't go.
I didn't like it last time.
But no. But Tony, why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense at all. Oh, God. Okay, well, anyway, I think that's, we just have to leave it there. I don't know. And you know what? Yeah. It's going to be thrilling to come back in 4 weeks and just find out, like, it's like a smash cut, like, end of one season, you come in at the other, mm-hmm. and it's like an apocalypse has taken place, you know? Yeah. Like, or utopia has risen up.
Yeah.
We're going to be Troy walking in with our pizzas, being like... Mm-hmm.
But we're hoping that we're Troy walking in the good universe and everything is fine. Everything is okay. Yeah. I don't think it was Troy. Someone else comes in with the pizzas. Don't worry about it.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team. With room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Okay, let's move on to the Connie. We are just doing, we're going to go league by league this week. It was a light, I think it was heavy wrestling. I think everyone loved the wrestling, as I always do. Plot light week in the Connie. So in the Blue League, Death Rider storyline remains in stasis. Mox picked up a win versus Roddy, and Claudio had a time limit draw versus Takeshita. OC also picked up another win versus Mescara Dorada, and everybody gave post-match promos, which is what we like to see. Yay. Yes, boys. Yeah. Yes, boys.
We figured it out. If we didn't realize it last week that there's a Connie drop Wednesday night and Saturday night. So I think last week we were like, why didn't OC and Roddy do promos? It's because we're going to miss the Saturday one in every week.
Yeah, but that's okay because now we know. And we think in the course of this Connie, they went from they went to labeling the promo segments with like week three, week four. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, they're learning as they go, and mm-hmm. I really like that. Please don't stop compiling them. I need the compilations are saving my life. So
last year it took me like 15 minutes of my life to go through Twitter videos.
You were the hero of the Connie season for that. Because it would just be like, I thought I saw something, but then it disappeared because Twitter refreshed, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about, I think mostly just talk about the post-match promos. Okay, so let's start with Roddy and Mox. Roddy gave, it was a great little promo.
It was really great.
It was really good.
He looked really shaken up. He was like, I guess I'm the biggest loser of the league.
He was shaken up, but there was also like an undercurrent of like rage about it too. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was psychologically complex in a way that he literally hasn't been. He's just yelling people's names. But this was so good for him to be like, I'm just a loser. I'm awful. I'm not doing what I need to do. And like inside he's like seething. Like I felt like the undercurrent was like, I'm better than this, and I hate myself that it's not happening for me.
He may be spiraling towards, maybe you can guess what I'm going to say, Samojo's incel army. Kind of sounds like he's getting red-pilled.
He said this line where he was like, yeah, John Moxley, I can beat him. I didn't, though.
I didn't, though.
Like, alrighty.
Well, he was really, like, there was an intensity to it. He was like, John Moxley, like, I get in that ring, and, like, I'm one of the best wrestlers in the world. I know it. And I could beat him. I didn't, though. I didn't, though. It's like, yeah, you didn't. You didn't. No. That's so true. Yeah, so he's Strokes Defunk, which we love. And then
he looked
Mox,
like he was going to cry at one point.
He really did. He kind of hid his eyes, and then when he took his hand away, his face was really red, and his eyes were so big and wet.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is what Mama likes, okay? Yeah. She wants to see you crash out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This and is what promo Connie season is to me.
Exactly. Yes. This is what this is for. Like, all year, you guys get to seem, like, so tough and cool, and you're so focused on it. At this time of year, for girls, you cry.
Yeah.
You cry.
You cry for the girls.
So, but I think he could do something unspeakable. You know, it's like with Roddy, it's like he could either have a Christmas miracle, like win one match and be like, maybe Roddy just needs to be nice to himself. Maybe I have to, he got it from Kevin Knight. He's talking in the third person. Maybe Roddy just needs to believe in himself a little more. Or he could do something so unspeakable, become an incel. And when Kyle O'Reilly eventually comes back, he's like, where's my buddy Roddy? And it's like, oh. I'm so sorry. He is a men's rights activist now. That's hard. Meanwhile, Mox did a promo that I really enjoyed, kind of a classic beat poetry number, a lot of hand talking. He had some lines, said, the deeper we get into this tournament, the more it reveals about somebody. I said, that's the only thing I want. Thank you, yes. Jonathan.
Yeah.
Yes.
I loved it because it was like classic Mox, where I felt like the thesis statement was, man, I love wrestling, and I love wrestling like this. I put my whole pussy into it, and the Continental Classic, everyone else puts their whole pussy into it. We're just doing it for the love of the game, and I love
it. It was great. Well, he ended the promo. He had this line where he said, I think I might have paraphrased a little bit. He goes like, when this is all over, I want to know I didn't leave any bullets in the chamber. I left it all out there. Yeah. All of it. And the way he said it and, like, the tone, I was like, oh, my God, Mox, you're on, like, a poemaday.tumblr.com right now. Like, I'm like, I'm not saying it's the best poem in the world, but I'm saying, like, yeah, I would reread it on tough days and just be like, that's right. I left it all out there. Yeah. All of it. Thank you, Mr. Moxley. So I thought that was great. And he hasn't been killed yet, and that must be thrilling for him that he hasn't been deposed yet. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
OC, his pants were falling off, which I thought was so sweet. Yeah. And he was feeling confident. He's tied for second in his division.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said 3 points is 3 points.
And I loved his little promo where the interviewer, who still sounds like Matt Jackson for weirdly, was like, OC, you won. And he's like, yeah, of course I did.
Said it was gonna win. I said it was gonna get 3 points. I got 3 points. Got 6 points. He actually has a little bit of our energy the first year of the Connie, where Anne especially was like, Connie math. Oh my God. It's all about the math. You got to add the numbers. He sounds like he just discovered the math. And he's like, it's literally just about points these days. It's I got three points. You get another three, you get six. Then you have another three, you get nine. If you get 9 points, you get to do this. Like, it's like, he's just like math, 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 math. Oh, I didn't even know how fun it could be.
Wow. That was so thrilling. That first Connie. I had such a good time with math.
I know it absolutely carried you away. Yeah. I think this is my final point I want to make in this league. Claudio didn't say anything interesting in his promo, and it was about 3 seconds long. But at one point, he like raised his water bottle, and I said, "Is that a bottle of piss?" And it looked like he was really dehydrated, and he pissed in a bottle on a road trip, and he was carrying it around. Mm-hmm. And you might say, like, well, that's not what's happening, so why would you even say that? And I'm like, I don't know. That's what I think about him now. I think he's a piss bottle boy.
I think
he's just carrying a bottle of piss around.
I think Greg has a piss bottle, too.
I bet he does.
I think it's some kind of, like, electrolyte thing, but, like, I'm pretty sure that was a BT thing where he was constantly walking around with a half-filled bottle of cloudy yellow liquid.
Oh, God bless the man. Okay. I want to say one bad thing about I love post-match promos. Never stop doing them. Never stop compiling them. The one bad thing is that when they give the promos after they've been fighting, their muscles are all popping so much. And so their bodies look like really huge and vascular. And that sucks.
Osi's veins on his arms were so visible. I was like, not my sweet boy.
I said, put those away, please. Hey, please, you have company. Not right now. Not at the table. Put those away. Okay, so over in the Gold League, Speedball and Kevin Knight had a lover's fight. And Speedball won. We have three promos to discuss from them. So let's start with their pre-fight promo.
I loved it. The two of them faced each other, did like very affirming eye contact, and they said, "Hey, I'd like to win this. Is that okay with you?" I am okay with you wanting to win this.
Do I have your consent to proceed?
Yeah. And they were like, I'm okay if you want to win this, but I need you to know that I will also be trying to win this. And Kevin Knight was like, oh, totally. Yeah. Yes. You try to win it. I'll try to win it. And then we'll just like, we'll just both be happy if we both try. And it was just like, so like, I was like secure attachment kinks. Like it was just like the nicest, most like healthy promo that I've ever seen in my life.
You had a description of it that I think you should break out here, that you said that I don't want to snatch it from you.
No, do say it, because I don't remember.
You said that it was like two very securely attached lovers who were discussing a new kink they're about to embark on and trying to make sure everyone is feeling healthy, safe, sane, and consensual going in.
That's right, I did say that. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, for sure. That's right.
They're so funny because they're so attached, so like consensual. But Speedball brings this energy that's very almost, it's not exactly menacing, but it's close to menacing. Where they're staring into Kevin Knight's eyes, like standing a little too close. And just being a little over intense.
There's a little something extra. Well, let's hit on the other two promos and then we can discuss how we would diagnose it. So Speedball wins the match. And after, I was really worried that they were just cutting away and we weren't going to get like them together after the match. And I was, I think I was watching saying evil. But then Speedball went over and he was like, okay. And he's kind of touching him. And Kevin Knight looks like really fucked up. But then like he lets his husband comfort him and they held each other. It's like, that's really sweet.
And it was
then,
like the tightest hug.
It
like,
was it was so like, nice.
It was hip to shoulder pressed together.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're in love. And so then they got a promo afterwards where Speedball comes up on Kevin Knight and it's just like, after what happened out there, like, I just have to say, like I got the win, but you made me earn it. People are right about you. You are one of the best in the world. And Kevin Knight, I think, had been saying, like, I know I'm good. Like, I still believe in myself or something. And he goes, you are one of the best in the world. I learned so much by your side. And then they clasped hands for so long. Like, they were just holding hands. It was full, like, Regency romance. They're just gazing into each other's eyes, clasping hands. And one of them, Speedball says, see you in the finals, Kevin. But he says it kind of breathy because they're coming off the match. So it's just like, see you in the finals.
And the way
his heart
it felt
pattering out of his chest.
It felt so intimate for him to just call him Kevin because no one does. Everyone always calls him Kevin Knight. And I was just like, I got like a little shiver where I was like, that is like a pet name to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was wild. There's the energy.
I know by wrestling law they are going to turn on each other at some point or they're going to break up, but like that's going to be devastating to me. It is going to be a situation where I'm going to be like, love isn't real.
I know. We're going to have to really reevaluate. Well, so they gave one more promo on Collision this week where they were basically just like, here we are again. Like, we fought it out and we're both so amazing and all we want is to get to the finals together to fight each other. And then I don't know what was going on with Speedball, but they like turned, they did like a little special handshake together. And then he turned his into this like gesture over. It was like kind of a m'lady gesture and then like gestured at the camera. And it was like looking at, I think it was like, what's that? It's like that gif of Rihanna like doing magic at you or something. I was just like, what is happening? Like, he's trying to do close-up magic at me and he thinks he can get away with it because he's in a healthy relationship. Well, I will let it go just this once and also because he's from Quebec. But like, be so careful, you know? And they still had the same. Okay, so let's talk about this energy. It's like they have a very healthy relationship. I believe their love is extremely, extremely real. I'm going to float one theory, and then, Anne, I'd like you to float the other theory that we came up with. So the first theory, sometimes Speedball turns and looks at the camera and looks at Kevin in this kind of intense way where I'm like, I think that you do love him, but also that you recently got, your brain got taken over by that parasite from the faculty. And so you are in there screaming like, Kevin, it's me, my love. But the parasite has you and something horrible is about to happen.
Yeah.
So that's theory one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love it.
Theory two is like, it seems like they have a secret, you know, that they think, like, they're doing something weird privately together that other people don't know about. But we thought it wouldn't be like a weird kink. Like, they're so wholesome. But we thought they might not know that other people know what sex is, and they might think that they invented that.
So
they're
just. So we were like, The secret they have that makes everything a little bit weird is just that they're having sex like married couples do. And they're like, but nobody else even knows what that is. They don't know about sex.
The weird thing that we do together.
For some reason, I can't stop thinking about it. They're just like, nobody knows. They don't know about the things we do. They don't know about the I love you.
We found something that feels so good and no one else has ever stumbled across.
Really good. That's all I can say about that. Anyway, I'm obsessed with them. I love them.
I know.
Wow, great work. Great work, mm-hmm. team. Okay, also in the Gold League. Oh, my God. Kyle Fletcher suffered his second Connie defeat to Pack, and he cut a good promo about it afterwards where he also was like, I thought he was going to cry. I thought he was going to cry in there.
Yeah.
That when at the very beginning when he was like slumped over like whatever he was like leaning against and he just looked like defeated, I was like, oh, I'm into this. I'm really into this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kyle did do something. Well, we can't even get all to that. Wait, let's not even get all into that. Pac did something really strange with his mustache. I think we should point out he has a kind of like a kind of a goatee, but like a mustache.
His mustache like doesn't connect to his beard, so there's like a little blank space between it, as though it's like a mustache that's that he's like slapped on to a beard.
A place where you can write your name. You know, that's what I would say.
Now, Allie, does that enhance your attraction to him?
I think everything does at this point. I mean, because I'm kind of attracted to him, like, against you guys at this point. You know, it's weaponized attraction. So I love you, Pac. I love that you look like Abraham Lincoln, who I'm also very attracted to, always have been. And he was really well adjusted in his promo. He was just like, I won and I love to win. See you next week. The end. All right. Okay, let's move on. The Reunited Elite fought a classic Don Callis family get-along shirt trio of Hechicero, Okada, and Takeshita. This was a very fun match. I'm glad during Dynamite this week, I was packing to leave town the next day, so I was a little checked out. But I rewatched this match and was like, oh, I'm glad I rewatched it because I had fun at the time. But then when I rewatched, I was like, oh, it was really fun. Okay, it was a really good match. That was good. There was some DCF action, like on the Takeshi Okada storyline during this. Mm-hmm. So, do you want me to recap it, or does one of you want to? Oh, that little nod. Okay, I'll do it. So, all right. Okay, so Okada has he has another guy, Kenny. I don't know. Could be Matt Jackson. Okada's going to do a move on a man, and he's like, I need another man to come help me. So he beckons at Hechicero, but then off camera, while Okada's waiting, Takeshita's like, no, Hechicero, you stay there. I'll go over and join him. So it's a two-man move, so they have to both do it. So he gets in position, but the second that he touches Okada, Okada is like, he got static shocked, and is just like, that is not the man I asked for. And he, like, shoves him away. And then I think they got into a little pushy shovey. And I think that was the big incident of the match, right?
Yeah. They had a few more like that where it's just like a lot of tension between the two of them.
A lot of tension. And poor Hechicero is really good at being the guy between them who's like, please, not during the match. We have to do the match. Please. Don gets so mad when we don't do the match. He's going to send us to the basement. And they're just like, he never sends us to the basement. We can do anything we want. So, blah, 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 blah. Oh, Matt Jackson had a really wonderful ham moment on the sidelines during this match. I think he got, like, kicked by someone, and he looked so offended and scared about it. And then, like, skedaddled off in the opposite direction. It was like, that's why, you know, you'll always be the guy. You'll always be the guy. Okay? You'll never lose that. And the Elite, I think, have a new finisher that they all did. They did, like, a trio super kick. That, I don't know. It looked good. And then Kenny, like, what's the one where Kenny gets in their back? Like, he's giving them, it looks really good. Like, it might feel good to get his knee in your back like that, you know, like a really good massage.
I hope the wrestlers think that, too. They're like, oh, yeah, he's going to knock one of my vertebrae back into place.
Can I get masseuse Kenny finisher tonight, please? anyway, I thought it all looked good, and they won the match, and they won $1 million.
That should hold Nick for, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, that was my first question was, like, Matt, do you have a plan? Did you actually look into, like, what we're doing with the money? Did you look into the tax laws? Do you know what you can do? Do you know what the best place to put it is? Do you know where you can put it to keep it away from him, but make sure that it's still, like, in his, you know, it's like, we want to know that he has it if he needs it, but he doesn't need it for most things, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a plan?
Yeah.
And I guess it's okay if the plan is just, like, give it to Kenny and Kenny will keep it. I don't know.
I don't know if Kenny is more responsible. I feel like he's different in his sins.
I think if you gave Kenny $1 million and said, hide this in your house, he could put it somewhere almost thoughtlessly, like, yeah, I guess. So weird that when you asked him about it, he would be like, I've never had $1 million. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, if you told me that Kenny's house is just full of money that someone gave him and was like, can he put this somewhere safe? Yeah. And he doesn't know where any of it is. And he's just like, I have some really good video games. Yeah. I would believe you. I'd be like, that sounds right. The bank of Kenny Omega.
He forced both New Japan and AEW to pay him in cash. And then he never spent any of it. And it's just like, he's buried some of it in the backyard. He's got like under floorboards. He'd like,
It's all in old peanut butter jars.
And, there's always money in the banana stand. That's Kenny Omega. So maybe that's their plan. Yeah. Well, I have to hope that they have a plan anyway. They don't have a World's End match. Is there any chance that they end up with one or no, do you think?
Here's the thing. I almost want them to commit to the bit where they're like, I have never and I will never show up to World's End.
Yeah.
That would be extremely
funny. Holiday time
to me.
With the families. Yeah. Like, but not going to that pay-per-view.
At the same time, like, I'm probably going to end up watching World's End. So, yeah, I would love to see them for my own comfort. But it would be, it would continue to be funny if they're like, I'll be dead before you drag me to that shit show.
Yeah. I would understand it. Yeah. I would understand if they never wanted to go there.
Yeah.
It's not a good destination.
No.
No, it's you know pay-per-view. It's just awful.
And then any thoughts that you have for future Elite Trios booking at all?
I hope they get given something to do. I mean, I was moved by their reunion. I knew I would like it, but I kind of wasn't sure that I wanted Kenny to get back with them from the beginning. And this is part of it where I'm like, okay, well, now that they're together, like, what are they going to do? Are they going to go for the trios belts again? Who even has it? Samoa Joe? You know what
it's
I mean?
It's the ops. Yeah. I realized that while writing the schedule. And I was like, well, I wouldn't hate it if they – I think someone has to get the damn belts off the ops. They can't incels can't be celebrated in this way at this level. So it's like, get the belts off of them. And then I was like, that could potentially be like a light brush with Hangman type thing of just like – We're not aligned. We're not on the same page. We're not having a storyline together. But if you just had like one little moment of like, okay, so you are going to deal with, you guys are a trio. You're going to deal with that. Okay, good. Yeah. Finally. Thank you. Like that'd be kind of nice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm all for it if they do something interesting in 2026. I'd love that. I'd love to be like on the edge of my seat for what's going to happen next.
I remembered that Kenny got back in a broom at the end. Oh,
yeah. That was huge.
That was huge. Yeah. He looked happy. He did look happy.
Of course.
I do think it's good for Kenny. I mean, whether it's good for us is whatever, but like good for Kenny to be with the Bucks because he needs his little crutches to have a good time. Because he looked pretty lively and happy, I thought, in this match, which was nice.
Yeah.
Back with his little shih tzus.
Back with his little shih tzus. And I just keep feeling so upset at everyone's always arguing about, like, getting Kenny into singles matches and then arguing about, like, whether, you know, it's like, does he still have it? And it's like, leave him alone. Oh, my God. Yeah. Just let him do something. I don't know. I feel protective of that. I feel protective of him.
Especially this week, because I think people were saying because of that match that they think Kenny's dead. I know, I saw that. Dead.
Yeah. Well, and then I felt crazy about it because I was like, that's crazy. Like, I guess maybe I don't know. I'm just not an expert. So it's like, you could tell me, like, he doesn't look as crisp as he usually does, but it's like, he's not dead. Like, you look pretty good to me.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't know.
These things I think where people have been really good, and then the level, like, shifts a little bit down, but they're still better than most, you know, but people get crazy. But also, like, I don't know. I don't know the moves, so.
I think if there's one thing that I would love to, like, actually manage to make some wrestling fans understand, and some fans of everything and, like, kind of everyone in the world, it's just like, you know, time only moves forward. You can't, mm-hmm. you can't trap anybody or anything you love in amber. Like, they won't stay the same. That's really hard. It's hard to deal with. It feels bad when it's someone you love. Like, I know that. I know that about my own faves, but, like, you have to accept that, like, there are stages to people's lives, and you should maybe try to think about, like, what is the best thing for a new stage of somebody's life, like, what will be good for them and, like, will make you feel good, and not constantly be thinking, like, well, it's not like it was. Like, no, nothing is ever going to be like it was. Like, it can be a new good way. Try and think about what the new good way should be.
Yeah, I think some of you need to listen to the Sunscreen song a little bit more carefully. That Leah moment where he goes, you too will get old.
You too will get old. I mean,
is it Baz Luhrmann? Is that who it is? Who does the...
Oh, I don't know.
Reads it out loud? I don't know. But some of you should listen to it and internalize some of the lessons that are taught there.
Just reflect. And, you know, I mean, I don't think it's not really a lecturing thing. It's just like to make everyone happier. You know, we'd all be happier if we could just come to terms with that. Time. Let me repeat it again. Get your notebooks out. Time only moves forward. Ah!
Yeah.
Anyway, Babes of Wrath and Timeless Love Bombs teamed up to fight Athena, Mercedes, and the Mega Problems in Manchester. Yes. Normal match. Short. Pretty short. Leah, you had a thought about face unionization here. You said you liked this a little more than sometimes.
I liked it. I think they've done this in the past in the women's division where, like, whoever the faces are at the time will stand together, but it sometimes will feel just like a, like girls who got sent out there together and they're standing a little bit awkwardly. I think for the first time, the foursome of Tony, Mina, Willow, and Harley do seem really natural and, like, yeah, like gelled with each other. So it does make sense to me that if one is getting beat down, the others would run out. And it's not just like, oh, Tony sent me out here.
Yeah.
Like, Tony Khan sent me out here. Yeah. So, like, for the first time, it does kind of feel, like, really natural and really fun to be like, oh, like, the faces are sticking together and they're protecting each other, and it's because they genuinely like each other. I just like it. I just, like, when I see the four of them together, I'm like, oh, I like this. I like to keep seeing it.
Yeah. Totally.
Willow, I believe that you want to grow and learn in your understanding of their relationship, and that, you know, I think maybe you already had a moment where you're like, maybe I shouldn't compare my friendship to their marriage.
I didn't have a chance to watch it yet, but someone in our Discord, like, literally just before we got on, was like, I don't know if you girls know this, but I was just listening to the podcast and it made me think of it. Max Caster actually did a rap about how Willow is secretly kind of a bad person.
it's the joke's right there. But yeah, I think it works pretty well. And I do kind of buy, like, oh, I can see you guys as a foursome. I think it's nice. Mercedes ended up pinning Willow for the win in this match. And later in the show, Mercedes and Athena had a backstage promo with Lexi Nair where Mercedes was like, I literally pinned one of the tag team champs and no one's talking about it. Why is no one talking about it? I was like, well, it happened 5 minutes ago. So let's take a breath and give him a chance, you know, let him cook. But Athena was like, such a good point. You know what? Mercedes, I think that we should fight Babes of Wrath at World's End. And so they put that challenge through. And then Mercedes said that she was going to put her Rev Pro title or titles, I don't know, on the line while they're in the country. And this will come out on Sunday, right? So I think the reportage is that she is dropping to Alex Windsor on the Saturday collision that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
So that story, the storyline continues, which makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense for her crash out. The other thing I liked about this promo is I don't remember who said it. I think it might've been Willow was like, you know, your problem is Mercedes. You don't have any fucking friends.
I'd like to hear that a little more often. I mean, that honestly is a really, that's a devastating, it's a devastating,
it's burn. Really,
it's
yeah.
a devastating
yeah.
burn.
Yeah. yeah. You're not a girl's girl.
You're not a girl's girl. Yeah. Did you have any thoughts on this outcome or any thoughts on the upcoming match?
If we're moving into the place where Mercedes starts dropping her belt and like she, you know, like freaks out every single time, I'm going to fucking love it.
Yeah. No. I know. Let's crash out with Mama.
Her. Yeah. Her meltdown. That's all I want. It's just
brilliant. She's so good at them. And like, you know, just seeing someone really destabilized. I feel like I feel like she'll do really fun wrestling during this period. So, yeah. Okay. So the other thing going on here in the women's division. Oh, Jamie Hayter and Chris Statlander are in an ongoing feud with the Triangle of Madness. Mm-hmm. So Hayter and Stat fought the Sisters of Sin and won. Oh, yeah, here. But Triangle of Madness. That was a totally different thing. I'm going to kill myself. Whatever. They won. Don't worry about it. Anyway, and then after the win, Hayter was like, okay, so we said we would talk afterwards about, like, you know, our whole deal. Which, again, the whole vibe is kind of just like, we'd talk about, you know, that time we hooked up. But yeah. She just means that she wants to fight her. And Chris was like, we don't have to talk about it. We can just fight. Which is, also, this is actually kind of a great rom-com dynamic as I describe it. You said we would have a talk about our feelings. No, we could just fuck again. So don't worry. And so then Hayter had a jobber match on Collision this week and won, but Triangle of Madness attacked afterwards and Chris ran out for the save. And they had like a little interlude thing where it's like she's like beating people up and Jamie Hayter like accidentally hits her with the Haterade, but then she's fine and about it, I think.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah. Chris is just like a little bit in like Mox in that way where she's like, no, I get it. You were in your animal, you know, passions.
Yeah, I understand. Leah, you had a thought about Chris circling
Chris the union. Is still a face, but like whenever she comes out like to help with the face union stuff, like she doesn't seem entirely comfortable. And like Willow is obviously still very guarded around her, but like even like the others, like with Jamie, like I think she's like warming up to Jamie, like they're one-on-one promos, but she always like when she's with the like other faces, she does sort of like, she's like, I don't really know how to talk to you guys. And I think some of that might be like, Chris is just not that like loose when it comes up, but I like it from a kayfabe perspective where yeah. she's just like, still like, it's like, she's still trying to figure out who she is if she's not evil and she's not sure like where she fits in as someone who has gone dark. I don't know. I just really weaving the shoot awkwardness into story.
Yeah.
I don't think their follow through on any of Chris's heel turn stuff has been in the long term has been very good. Like it's like, it's continually been kind of like confused and like, off on, but there is something so compelling still about a character who's like, I did something bad. I realized it was bad. Mm-hmm. I apologized. My apology wasn't accepted and that's okay, but it's really hard for me. And I'm always fighting with like, should I just kind of be bad again? No, probably not. Mm-hmm. But like that it's like hard and that, so it's just like, okay, so I'm just going to show up and I'm going to do the right thing. But I don't have very good relationships with anybody. And I do feel resentment. And I do sometimes think like, God, should I just fucking go to the sewers again?
Yeah.
That's a really delicious stew.
Yeah.
I don't think it's being delivered to our mouths very consistently.
No. And I think like a lot of it is like cloud story stuff. I think like, you know, I feel like Chris Statlander would be surprised to hear some of this and be like, wow, that's great.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, anyway, I like all of them. I'm excited to see where it all goes. Oh, no. Okay, no. Stupid question. Okay, so, and then, so, Jamie and Chris will fight at World's End.
That's all right. That's going to rule.
Yeah, that's going to be Hunk City. Okay. Hunk City, bitch. Okay, that's all we have, except, shall we play
a little game?
Shall we play a little game? Okay, so we're going to do, I think we did it for like Halloween or something. We're new classic dating game rules, but it is holiday themed. So what I've said here is it could be Christmas, it could be Hanukkah, it could be solstice, it could be deep winter imagines. I don't really know what I meant by that.
It's cold, there's snow. What kind of winter activities? You know.
So those are the parameters that we're working with and that we want to find a little date. Okay. Are you guys okay? You ready?
Yeah.
I'm scared.
Do you want, I'm going to give you two and I'm going to give you the third. Okay. The two are Tekla and Tony Khan. And then the extra is Marina Shafir.
Wow. I don't think Tony Khan's ready for that.
No, it's particularly delicious because Tekla got fired from Stardom for beating up its president. So it's very fun to imagine Tekla asking Tony on a date and Tony being like, now what's your game?
I'm scared
to say yes, but I'm scared to say no.
And that's where Marina comes in. She's like standing right behind her. Like slapping a pipe into her hand, being like, I think you're gonna go.
Now, what's the holiday element?
Good question. Oh my God.
Wow. It's really hard to say.
Such a good question. The problem for me when I'm looking at this is that I'm like, I want Tekla and Marina Shafir to kiss. And I don't know why Tony's there.
I know. Can we just pervert it?
Maybe and be like, Tekla asked Tony Khan out to make Marina jealous.
Yeah.
Is that anything?
It is. Oh, actually, I do like that. Before I lose the thought, though, can I hit you with something? I just was thinking, I was like, what Christmas movies could I draw upon here? And then I suddenly thought of that little elf that wants to be a dentist in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I'm like, is that Tony Khan, maybe?
A little bit, yeah.
Could they be on some kind of, like, misfit toy adventure?
I think Tony Khan would really thrive in a claymation scenario.
Yeah.
He feels like he should. Like, now that I've thought of it, I'm like, he is claymation. Why is he here in the real world with us?
It's not right. Yeah.
He wants to be a dentist. But no, he's an elf that wants to run a wrestling promotion.
Yeah. And he's a little claymation elf, and he had to come to the real world, and he feels really thrown off, but enthusiastic.
Okay, Marina Shafir is an elf who is ostracized for being too mean. Oh. And Tekla is an abominable snowman that they meet out on the ice.
Out on the ice, yeah.
I love that.
And so do they have like a torrid fling, but then a misunderstanding that makes them break up, and then Tekla finds
Tekla
the little
and Tony?
Elf Tony Khan? Well, then she
Tekla
uses
and Marina.
Tony. Yeah. Tekla and Marina. Okay. They had a fling. Sorry, I was like,
do Tekla and Tony the elf have a torrid fling? No. I don't care what the dating game generator said. No. Yeah.
You're not going to yes and that, Ellie?
I guess it's kind of a no for me. For once, for the very first time, it's a no for me.
Yeah. No. Tekla and Marina, torrid fling, yeah. Misunderstanding, breakup. Then Tekla is trying to make Marina jealous with the little elf.
I see. She's flirting with Tony the little elf.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that's it. Perhaps that's right.
I am picturing it all in claymation, and it's quite charming.
Oh, yeah.
And imagine Marina Shafir singing, like, angry emo Christmas songs, like, mm-hmm. while she watches, like, Tekla the Abominable Snowman, like, hold Tony's hand. And actually, like, she's like, who knows what they're talking about? Probably their torrid fling. And actually, like, Tony's just being like, and my very favorite wrestler of all time.
It's like, in ROH, they really did some fun stuff. And Samojo was such a good wrestler.
And one year, I got to go with Santa on the sleigh, and I put a little action figure under John Cena's tree.
And it was the best like,
I've
night
never
of my
been
life.
So bored. I have to get Marina back.
He is not a great conversationalist. I'm very happy thinking about how you could fill out all the other like roles in this with other wrestlers. I mean, they really were all meant to be claymation, honestly. Wrestling should be claymation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wrestling should be claymation.
Yeah.
All right. Good work. Oh, my God. Okay. I have Hangman Adam Page. Oh, he's been out for a while. Everyone's been out for a while. But it's kind of right. Cool Hand Aang. And then the third man is Danny Garcia. So.
Well, the thing is, if this was Matt Menard, it would make a lot more sense. Because immediately I want to, like, put together
put
a rom-com.
Put him in there. Put where, him like, in there. Let's do it the fun. All right. Let's do it the funnest way. Let's do it the fun way. Yeah.
Where Danny Garcia is desperate to find his dad partner for Christmas. And he, like, Hangman Adam Page is like his favorite wrestler or something, and he's like, that's who should date my dad. And he like he puts on like a madcap like Christmas plot to like put him and his dad together. And then like if you don't really want them together, you could like come up with something at
the
end.
Getting together in this story.
Getting together.
They're kissing on the mouth in this story.
Well, it's definitely I'm entranced. One of those things where it ends with Hangman picking up Danny Garcia and going, oh, you scamp.
This is like a full Hallmark, like child with lonely father finds handsome cowboy in small town too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You could do any number of Hallmark movies where it's like Matt Menard went through a tough breakup this past year. And now he's like in the, he's trying to get Danny to, I don't know, his grandparents' house for Christmas, but the car breaks down and the guy who helps them is, you know.
And then they get snowed in the town and Hangman owns like a bed and breakfast and they have to stay there.
And then, that's all I got. Okay, Leah, are you clicking in there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Was that no, I was deleting people. I think I got everybody that shouldn't be there now. So hopefully I think the randomizer is going to work now.
Okay, I love that you said, I think the randomizer is going to work now. And I think it is working. It immediately served us Ricochet, Ricochet, and Dante Martin. So should we talk clone fucking at Christmas? Hey, guys, can we go there?
I'm trying to.
Is this also claymation? Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's gotta be.
Wait, it was Ricochet, Ricochet, and Dante Martin?
I cannot think of anyone in our characterization of the world of wrestling who would be more alarmed and upset to be involved in somebody else's Christmas clone fucking adventures than Dante Martin. The whole time he's just like, I shouldn't be here, please.
He always looks scared as it is, and that's just taking it way up.
I was trying to like think about like, is Dante the main character who is like being haunted by Christmas ghosts? But I'm like, why would it be a doubled Christmas ghost?
Maybe it's just like, okay, if Dante is on some kind of adventure where he's being haunted by Christmas ghosts and Ricochet was one of the Christmas ghosts and he's a dick, I do think that like it would be his personality to like Dante's just like, how are you moving around everywhere? Like, and he's just like, the laws of physics don't apply to me. Like, you know, I can go through walls. I can jump into the future. I can jump into the past. Like, there could be one of me. There could be two of me. He makes a second one. Dante looks immediately so scared. And Ricochet is like, you look good at himself. And they like really are liking each other. And Dante's like, please stop. I'm a child. I'm actually child coded. So please stop.
And that's an important part about how this goes is that Ricochet is enjoying Dante's discomfort so much that he keeps the bit going with his clone and then accidentally like, yes, ands himself into being like, this is actually a great date. I'm a great conversationalist.
Like, best time. And he like is like, they walk under a door frame and one of the Ricochets is like, oh, look, some mistletoe. And the first Ricochet is like, I didn't make that mistletoe. And the second Ricochet is like, no, I did. And then Dante's like behind them just being like, please don't. Please don't do it.
It's like,
please
I can't
don't.
Watch two Ricochets kiss, but he has to.
But
somehow, I don't know what problem Dante's having throughout all of this. Like, Dante would just have a sweet boy problem that it's like, I think my brother isn't coming home for Christmas because he loves his new girlfriend's family more than he loves me or something. You know what I mean? And somehow, as he follows the ricochets around, he's learning a valuable lesson about, like, when somebody loves you, like, you know, it doesn't matter how far away they are, or how near they are. Like, they're always right next to you in your heart. And then in front of him, Ricochet is necking with himself. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I had to bring him into a story. Oh. I have to say that the dating game generator is playing games with me, because what it keeps doing is giving me a set of people where it's like two of them, I'm like, I don't know if we should do that one. And then the third person is so meant to be in the story that it's like, well, I can't click past it. Like Kyle O'Reilly, MJF, but then it makes the third Roddy. It's like, okay, well, you want us to tell the story. I don't know what it is, but.
Well, Kyle O'Reilly and Roddy is a fun one. I mean,
Kyle O'Reilly and Roddy should have a little Hallmark Christmas movie set on the terror. It's just Christmas.
Set on the terror. It's wintry.
It's a wintry wonderland.
Now, the only obstacle in that is that I simply cannot in any world see MJF agreeing to step foot on an Arctic expedition.
No.
So but here's the story. They all start. Kyle is like, I have to go maybe rescue Roddy in the Arctic. And MJF is like, oh, I'm out. And then the rest of the story is just Roddy and Kyle.
But then the other thing that makes this so perfect is that it's like trapped on the Arctic, no resources, probably not enough oil to light the lamp for even one day. And yet, how many days do you think the lamp ends up burning for? You know, it's like kind of all right there.
Wow.
I don't, you know, I think maybe we'll leave this one with the listeners. What story would you tell about Kyle O'Reilly, MJF, and Roddy? And how mad do you think OC is not to be there, not to be a part of it? What's happening with him at Christmas, you know? Wow. Hanukkah. Mm. All right. Oh, my God. Keep seeing people who are out. The dating game generator's on the fritz. Jay White, and Colton Gunn. What's wrong with you?
But again, the third one, it is like, well,
what's happening here? Doesn't it feel like this is, it's possessed right now?
Yeah. Mm. It's like, it has a mind of its own. And usually guys, the mind is trying to get us to write a romance about Brandon Cutler. But tonight, it's like clones.
Listen to this one. This is another one. Takeshita, Alex Windsor, and Will Ospreay.
Now, what do you mean? Pull that off.
What do you mean?
I feel like somewhere Will Ospreay is like, keep talking.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that would have to be. That actually would be a genuine, like, you know, polyamorous threesome situation, yeah. And it should just be that, like, somehow, like, Takeshita is stranded in England over Christmas, and, like, who is he going to stay with? Like, but he has some wrestler friends, and it's a really nice Christmas, and things start to take an unusual, unexpected turn.
They're all cozy inside. Unusual turn. They're making him hot chocolate.
Let me hit you with another one.
Yeah.
What if... What if it was a, well, that's not a Christmas book, but like a vaguely
that's okay.
Indian in the cupboard type thing where Takeshita, so Alex Windsor and Will Ospreay are at Will Ospreay's childhood home for Christmas.
Yeah,
and
okay.
They go into Will Ospreay's childhood bedroom and find all his action figures. And Takeshita is one of them. And Will Ospreay picks up the figure. And
kind of like a life-size thing.
This like a life-size thing, too, where he's like, this was one of my favorite wrestlers. I was, you know, when I was a kid, I was kind of, you know, weird and I didn't fit in. So I used to talk to him all the time. And
oh my God.
I loved him. And Alex is like, that's really cute. I love that for you. And then they go to sleep. And then through the magic of Christmas.
Of Christmas, yeah.
The action figure gets turned into a man. But he is just like the other things you guys were saying, this is where they fit in.
Yes.
He's a dreamy hunk. They're both like, okay, well, how can we make your visit?
let's light a fire and the three of us get under a Christmas throw and get cozy.
I'm obsessed with that.
That's really good.
That did also make me think that Takeshita could be, you know, that horrible movie that came out on Netflix last year that was like, oh God, it was like Hot for Christmas or something.
Hot Frosty?
Frosty. And it was about the snowman that turned into a hot man. And he had to, and he got overheated if he wore clothes. So he's walking around with no shirt on a lot. That could be Takeshita too. I think same exact vein where they're just like, we don't want him to melt. Like, he's too beautiful and he's so sensitive and he's helping us work through, like, you know, we have all these doubts about, we love each other, but we have doubts about like what we're doing with our lives, and somehow Takeshita is just making everything seem just that little bit easier.
We'll never let him go.
I would love to watch these three in a Hallmark movie. I mean, it's like it's a real hunk parade, and I think they'd be pretty funny, honestly. Yeah.
I agree.
And I think a wrestling action figure come to life, I mean, there's a lot of comedy you could do there.
Oh, for sure. All right. Where are we? Should we do one more? Why is it keep doing two?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Okay, this is too many muscles. Well, I don't want to do this one, but Kenny Omega, Alex Windsor, and Pac is like, that's too many muscles.
That's
not, it doesn't work for me, brother. Okay. We have Rocky Romero, Big Bill, and then the third here is Speedball Mike Bailey. And we know he is in a committed, loving, and I'm gonna say him and Kevin monogamous. They're the only two people on earth who know about sex for now. So I see him as a, I see potentially he's making a match for Christmas here. He might be doing some, you know, Christmas elfing. Elfing.
Yeah, he wants other people to have what he and Kevin have.
Now,
Kevin, and he's like Rocky and Big Bill.
Well, who do you think? So, who do you think Speedball is trying to help, Rocky or Big Bill? Like, if he's,
I think Big Bill.
So he's Big Bill's like matchmaker, and he picks out Rocky, and is like, "This is it. This is the guy."
Maybe it's though. What if it's that Big Bill is in love with Rocky? You know, what if it's just that like Big Bill is like, "I'm in love with Rocky Romero." I know it's silly.
I know it can never be, but I just think he's so cute.
I just love watching his segments with the Don Callis family. He's such a scamp.
And I just, I think he's my Christmas present. Like that would be, that would be the most perfect thing under my tree.
Yeah. We all know. What do you think Speedball Mike Bailey's go-to matchmaking moves are? I like the idea that he's like, Kevin, let's matchmake, and Kevin is like, no, I've got other things to do. I don't think I can help with this one.
Well, I think it's
Speedball
like,
would like go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, I think it's like all healthy romantic people think it's like so easy. So yeah. Speedball's like, oh, actually, you just walk up to him and say hi, and then you normally ask him on a normal date, and then end the course of that date, ask if you could see him again, and then you'll just be in love. And Big Bill's like, okay, well, that's not how it works for me.
Big Bill like tries that, and he like totally flubs it. Like he doesn't manage to ask him out at all. And then Speedball has to take matters into his own hand, and he like asks both of them if they want to go to a movie with him. And then at the last minute, he's like, I got food poisoning. You guys have to go without me.
Oh, I ate a bad ham. He has to translate it for Rocky. I ate a bad ham. This also could turn into farce very easily. Mm-hmm. If it starts, it's just like Speedball is like, okay, just go up to him and like ask him out on a date. And Big Bill is like, you know what? You and Kevin are very happy together. I want what you have. I will try it. He goes up to Rocky. Rocky totally misinterprets it and is like, he's trying to join the Don Callis family. He wants an audition. Things spiral into this situation where it's like, it's Christmas Eve. Big Bill is trapped in the Don Callis mansion basement. Like he like has a present for Rocky, but I don't know. I don't even know what you do. And he's like calling Speedball being like, you have to get me out of here. Like, I'm not going to make it to the, I said that I'd meet Rocky at the Christmas tree. Rocky thinks they're meeting at a Christmas tree for God knows what reason. Like probably something repulsive. You know what
there's
I mean?
Like
there's ham there. You know, when Europeans came to America, there was ham there. Yeah, I think I could see this as like a pretty insane Christmas farce that just ends with poor Big Bill having to be like, oh my God, I like you. I want to kiss you. And Rocky being like, oh, well, why didn't you just say that? Obviously.
Why was there so much?
No problem.
There's so many ham shenanigans. You kept promising me ham that wasn't there.
Ham wasn't there. She's like, I thought you were a ham auditor or something. Well, I'll be honest, girls, I'm not sure this was the best work we've ever done, all things considered.
It's not our fault, because the generator did not give us one plausible couple.
No. I mean, it was serving me stuff here.
I think the Takeshita Will Ospreay Alex Winter one was dead on.
Yeah, that one was really good.
That was our
good.
Best work, yeah.
That was really good.
And I do think that the Hangman... Matt Menard, Dana Garcia one was really good too, except that I got distracted in the middle by what was going on in the generator, so I kind of lost my train of thought. And that's nobody's fault. Okay, so that's it. So that's it for the year. That's it for the year.
That's it for the year, girls.
That's it for the year.
See everyone in 2026.
I know. Wow. Deep in 2026.
Deep into, well, you might see us in it. July, August 2026. We'll be back in January.
Jonas January.
Feel free to, I guess I'll do the end part and I'll say it in there. Okay, I'm doing amazing. It's not a cookie. I'm doing my best. That's all I can say. I've been Allie, so I'll say that.
I've been Ann.
I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, Blue Sky at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out all the other great podcasts on the network. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. And what I was going to say earlier was, feel free to drop in and let us know if something really crazy happens over the break and you think, I'm worried those girls, those lazy girls might not be watching and they might not have seen this thing that would just delight them. You let us know. Mm-hmm. And we'll make sure we check it out.
If Chuck Taylor comes back in the next month, just alert us, you know.
we might miss it. We'll be watching. Hopefully we'll catch everything. But, please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty, hot frosty. And as always, please come back next week. Next year.
Come back next year.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.